This is the Redeemed Christian Church of God, More Than Conqueror Parish.
I want you to look into your life and just wave your hand to God and say, Father, thank you for what you are doing in my life. Look into your life. God is good to you. Look into your life. He's been good to you. He answers your prayer. He healed you. He preserves you. He gave you life. You are still alive. You are breathing. Despite the evil dream that you had this morning, God still preserves you. Won't you give him praise? It is not your strength keeping you. Father, we worship you. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. We have some journey to embark on. So this morning, the Lord began a topic with us titled Seven Godly Preparations That Triggers God's Visitation. What is it that triggers God's visitation? God doesn't just visit. He visits people based on their preparation. He visits. That's why I said that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. So expectations, oftentimes people say is the mother of manifestation. So expectation is very important. But you must prepare the ground for him to visit you. God doesn't just visit. There must be something. Maybe you are giving him fasting and prayer. Maybe you are sowing a seed. Maybe you are worshiping. Maybe you are serving him, one thing or the other. Now, so we started by looking at the first one, which is obedience. Obedience, 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 obedience. Now, one of the things that we are unable to finish with obedience is that our obedience must be prompt. And it's, when your obedience is prompt, that means obedience will cause you to do some things. I want you to rise up on your feet. What do you notice? Brother Kelly, what does that mean? So, okay, it shows there's only few that follow that. Okay, sit down. Rise up on your feet. All right. What does that tell you? Obedience. Obedience will prompt you to act. Did you get the message? Maybe you didn't. Okay, sit down. So, what the Lord is trying to demonstrate to us is when I say rise up, what happened? You stood up. So obedience will prompt you to act in certain ways. That is just the message. Did we get the message? Or you are yet to get it? So obedience, when you say you obey God, you will act in certain ways. That is just the message. That's why I said, rise up on your feet. And you did. When I said sit down, you sat. So it simply means that when you say you are obeying God, there must be a corresponding action. There must be something, a corresponding action that follows it. A good example. One day, I prayed. I said, Lord, the next financial blessing you are going to put in my hand, we will sow it towards mission. I never know how big the financial blessing will be. Assuming I know. Bro Masha. You know I'm human like you. Bro Kelly, assuming I know, I will have adjust that prayer. I didn't know it would come that way. We're going to be obedience. And so when it came, I called my wife inside. If I even told her, I said, see what I've told God. I say, I'm thinking maybe. He said, no. She said, you told God everything. And now, why do you don't do like this? Just let's get everything. Obedience. Brethren, we obey. When you say you are obeying God, there must be an action that follows it. You can't say you are obeying God and you are still, if God says stand and you are sitting there, you are not obeying. If God says worship me and you are not worshiping, you are not obeying. If God says give and you are not giving, you are not obeying. So there must be a corresponding action that follows your obedience. Number two, that we saw from our anchor text, and for those of you that were not here in the first service, we took our Bible reading from where? Hey, thank God I'm here, Brother Buma. Thank God I'm here to correct it. You know, one day we were worshiping God while we were working on one of the songs for the upcoming album. And, you know, in my very eyes like this, I saw the way our brethren were, what do you call the second version?
Remix.
And I was, even Brother Joseph that was with me, or Brother Daniel, I say in my own eyes, see, our brethren are remixing the song in my own eyes. In my own very eyes. And I said, no, I am here. You people will not remix it while I'm here. Let's do the original version. Praise the Lord. So that where we took us reading from was from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 36 to 46. Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a big round of applause. It shows that you are listening. All right. Now, so the second preparation that we saw from that story, remember, the man of God declared, he said there shall be, you know, there's a sound of abundance of rain, but there must be something you see before the rain will fall. There must be something you can see physically and even spiritually before you experience God's visitation. Remember, he said in verse 43, that's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 43, and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. What that means is that the first attempt you make, there might be nothing. Look at the story of the man who were told that, produced the bulb. What is his name? Thomas Edison. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I thought we had science student here. Yes, Thomas Edison. How many times, you know, we were told that he tried so many times. But for we believers, why is it that you pray to God just one day and you give up the following day? The man of God told him 7 times, go. He went the first time, he said there was nothing. You might say, Lord, bless me with a car. And after the service, no car. That pastor, I don't. That pastor self. Well, Bro Kelly, I don't know, but I'll just hold on. And the second Sunday, Lord, bless me with a car. Nothing happened. Bro, are you coming next? Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. What happened? No, I'm okay. I think I'll join online. You know, there was something. He prayed twice, and God has no answer. But the man of God told the servant 7 times. Even Jesus Christ in the book of Luke chapter 18 gave us another parable of a woman there. And that woman, her case was that the Bible said because of her importunity, persistent. Why do we give up so easily on God? Why? Now, that will lead us to point two. Point number two, test of faith. Test of faith. For you to experience God's visitation, God will test your faith. It is like a man hiding in the corner of your house or at the back of your house and doing some things. It might appear you didn't see him. You see God walk in the background. He will be walking silently. You will know that he's working something out of your life. But oftentimes, because of trials, we just give up. Jesus was teaching us in that Luke chapter 18. Actually, let's read it so that we can have better understanding from there. Luke chapter 18. Let's read from verse 1. A quick reader, please. Yes.
Uh-huh.
It was a parable, but there's a lesson and there's a connection between this parable and the story of Elijah. Telling the servant to go 7 times. Go ahead.
That man ought always to pray
and not to faint.
Saying there was in a city a
judge
which feared not God.
Okay.
Neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city.
Okay.
And she came unto him saying,
Avenge
me of mine adversary. And he will not for a while.
Look at it. She said, avenge me of my adversary. Adversaries are enemies.
So this widow was praying and said, avenge me of my adversary, but nothing happened. Go ahead.
And he would not for a while.
He would not for a while.
But afterward.
Afterward.
He said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubled me, I will avenge her.
I will avenge her.
Lest by her continual coming she weary me.
You see, let's be, thank you, sir. You may take your seat. You see, like this morning, while I was, preparing the message, our second son had finished dressing up. And so I said, go and get your belt. And he brought it. And because there was something else that God had said I should put down, so I was putting it down at that time. He came, he said, please, daddy, can you help me with the belt? I said, hold on. It's no more than, maybe 5 seconds. Daddy, can you help me with the belt? I said, hold on. Have you seen a child that is so persistent? You will leave everything you are doing and attend to them. I continue. And the next thing that was about going, I said, hold on. I told him, I said, wait here. You know, he could not wait for that few seconds. And God was reminding me again about today's message. And then I had to leave it. I said, okay, come. I just helped him with the bed. I said, okay, now, so that I can continue. If a child could do that to me, human, he won't let me rest. Help me with my belt. I said, hold on. To him, to me, what I was putting down was important. But to him, as far as what is concerned to him, is that belt. The same attitude we should bring to God, persistent until you get what you are looking for. But most of the time, after praying for some time, you said, nothing happened. Who told you? We are still going somewhere. That sometimes it might appear as if there's no cloud at all. There is a small cloud somewhere. Now, test of faith. Let's look at the book of Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Now, in the book of Genesis 22, verse 1 said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Obedience. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. God was very specific. Remember I said in the morning? God is very meticulous. If God says something to you, sometimes because we don't want to hear, we say, God, are you saying B? God said, I said A. So when God speaks, he doesn't speak to you to confuse you. He gives you specific. You see, he mentioned his name, Isaac. And he said, take that now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. See God telling Abraham all those things. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. See what happened in verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. A man had waited for a number of years for a child. And then the next thing that happened was that in chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible tells us, and the Lord visited Sarah. And in verse 6, the Bible said that Sarah said, God had made me laugh so that all that hear with me will laugh. What kind of God is that? The God that just makes somebody laugh in verse 6 of chapter 21. The same God now comes in chapter 22 and asks him for the same child that we call laughter. It doesn't make sense. But that is God. That's why he gave us that song during worship this morning. I am God. I am God. I change it not. I change it not. I change it not. That is why you need to understand the ways of God. Can you see it? Chapter 21, God makes it a laugh. Chapter 22, verse 2. Give me that same laughter. It doesn't make sense. That is why, brethren, strive to know the way of God so that when he's quiet, your emotion will tell you God hates you. When he doesn't, as if he's not answering your prayer, your mind will begin to tell you, are you sure God loves you? Are you sure he's there? He's there. Most of the time, God will hide himself to prove you, to see whether you actually love him or not. So most of the time, it's as if you are not seeing the hand of God in your life. His hand is there, but he's trying to keep it to see what your reaction will be. I mean, the same God. Now, test of faith. The fact that Elijah instructed him to go 7 times, it proves that the servant needs to be tested. I mean, you ask me. Let's say one of you ask me and say, okay, Pastor, just come. I'll show you something. I came the first time. Nothing happened. I came the second time. Nothing happened. I'm just being sincere now. I came the third time, nothing happened. In the fourth time, I tell you, I'm not sure I will come again. No. I'm not coming. How many times? 4 times. But Elijah told the servant 7 times, go the 7 times. You know, most of the time we are this close to getting results from God and we give up. Why? Because our spirit has not been trained to persist with God. Our spirit is such as, you know, it's such that it has been trained that only receive, give me now. You get it now. Give me now. But the moment is outside what you are used to, some people's body becomes uncomfortable. They cannot no longer bear it. I say, no, God, no. I prayed. 3 days open door fasting and prayer that they declare, I joined them. Nothing happened. That job did not come. I prayed again. The baby did not come. I prayed. That car did not come. I prayed. And God be looking. And I hear God say, I am God. So Abraham was tested. Every man must undergo the test of faith to experience the heavy downpour. In order for you to come out triumphant in life, You must undergo the test of faith. God will not come to you by now and say, my son, I am testing you. He's not going to tell you. He won't. Because if he said that, he will scare you. Or some of you might even run away. Yes, he won't come. He won't come and say, I am testing you from this moment. No. He's going to be using situations in your life to test you. Now, and for you to come back, so there are different types of tests, but there are 4 that I want you to write down. Number 1, test of wilderness, which is wilderness experience. Many of you right now, you are going through what we call wilderness experience. You know, in the wilderness, there is no Manitoba Hydro. Everything, you trust God. Where will food come from? God. Headache. God, heal me. Everything. You are not even, you see, in the wilderness, it's not like where you just go and open tap. You remember, in the wilderness, they had to pray for water. In Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, we saw how Jesus, God himself, was tempted by the devil. The Bible said he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. You see, brethren, you have to make a choice the kind of life you want to live with God. You know why I said that? You can make a choice to say you want to be that Christian that, well, if God did not answer me, I'm giving up. Or you can make a choice to say, I will stay with God whether he answers me or not. It's a choice. You can make that choice to say, Lord, I'm going to stay with you whether you answer me or not. Test of wilderness. Waiting on God before making a move. Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. Did you see? At the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, God sent him to the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness. Many of you here sitting now, or those that will hear this message later, you are in the wilderness state. Why would God allow you and I to go through all those things? It is because there's a heavy downpour coming. And when that downpour comes, if your spirit had not been trained to wait on God in the wilderness, you will make a mess of that heavy downpour. Because when God blesses you, it's not like when your pastor blesses you. When God blesses, not like when your daddy and your mommy bless you or the government blesses you. When God blesses you, we are talking about the King of Kings blessing you. The blessing, he said, prove me now. And if I will not open the windows of heaven, in Malachi chapter 3, he said, prove me now. So, brethren, the kind of blessing that you want, do you want the blessing that just you pay your bills here and there, and then you grow old, you send the children to school, you see your grandchildren, is that all? It's a lie. That is not me. I want more than that. There is more than that. There is more than that. If a man says, until he sees a building, a church gathering that's about a city, that he won't rest, then me, I'll settle for bread. No. Brethren, there is no limit with God. But we choose the limit at which we want to operate with him. And that's why you see, God relates with us based on our own level. It will come to you if you see that your faith is like this. Like this. God won't ask you for Isaac. Because you know, if he dare mention that to you, that is the end of church. Say, no. And maybe if your faith is here, he might not even ask you about Isaac. It could be your first fruit. It could be that money. It could be anything. It could be that that's precious. Or maybe you are here. Say, give me your Isaac. Test of faith. Test of faith. So I mentioned two people that passed this test. Jesus Christ passed the test of wilderness. John the Baptist passed it. There were also people that failed the wilderness test. One of them that failed it was King Saul. He couldn't wait for Samuel. He lost his patience. Said, now, that is enough. Give me the censer. I can talk to God too. God, what should we do? And the Bible said, that, you see, just about when he was offering it, Samuel came. Why would Samuel come just at that time? Because he couldn't wait. So, brethren, seven godly preparation that triggers God's visitation in your life. You must be tested. If you say, God, don't put me in the category of people you shake their faith, then God will give you, you just manage life. But if you want to leave your mark here on earth, be ready for that test. If you really want to live and say, Lord, in this one life that I have, make something out that will affect generations to come. Look at today, we are still talking about Abraham. It was because of what he did with God. Now, number two, test of faith. Test of material things. That is money, food, property. Maybe you are here now. You are even saying, this pastor doesn't know. There's even no lunch this afternoon. You didn't even know. There's no food to eat this afternoon. But the small voice will say, I am God. I am God. I change a none. And so on. Now, test of material things. Money, food, properties. Some people failed it. Prophet Balaam. He loved gifts. He loved money. God told him, don't answer them. Don't even. He went back to God. He said, Lord, yeah. When God had already told you, the man that I bless, you can't curse. Balaam said, let me see if I can bribe God. And he went to deny. Oh, Lord, shall I go with them? Okay. And God said, don't go. The word that I put in your mouth, say. So, Balaam failed that test. May you not fail this test. Amen. I said, may you not fail the wilderness test. Amen. May you not fail the test of materialism. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Esau, as we learned a couple of weeks ago, he failed it. He was hungry. Maybe you are here. The moment your tummy begins to make noise, anything goes into your mouth. You have to be careful. Don't settle for average in life. You have a choice to make. Esau failed this test. He couldn't tame his appetite. Another one who was supposed to receive double portion of the grace that was upon Elisha. Gehazi. What was his own faith? His own part?
Clothes. Money.
Can I ask you, sir? Maybe somebody should volunteer. Brother Femi, the clothes you wore 10 years ago, where is it? Eh? Sir? You can't even wear it. Okay, well, I don't even know where mine is. If you know where your own is, me, I don't even know where my own is. Brother Osi, the shoe you wore when you were in nursery school, where is it? It's nowhere to be found. It tells you. So the question is, why do you want to sell your destiny or fail God's test? Because of clothes. Because of jewelry, because of shoe. Look at it. So this man, he failed it. Now, another example. But some people passed it. Elisha passed it. Daniel passed it. Daniel said, I will not defy myself with the portion of the king. So make a choice. Make a choice. You want to leave a mark in life. It comes with a price. God will test you. Now, because of our time, time is running so fast. Number three. So what is the first test? Thank you. It shows that you are following. Number two. Okay, number three, test of opposite sex. What that means is this. You know, there are some people, I can't say, bro, follow up with Sister A. No, I can't trust them to that level. Can I have your number? Pastor said I should follow you. Where are you living? We thank God for your life. We are happy you came today. We'll see. You see, as he's collecting the number, he's examining the sister from head to toe. Is that what I sent you to do? Test, you see, God will also test you with that. Brother Joseph passed this test, and I will pass, you will pass.
Amen.
Joseph passed. He said, no, how can I do such thing and sin against my God? That's why the Bible said, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploit. Joseph, he did not yield to it. God will test you. Because see, by God's grace, many of you sitting down here, maybe it's a prophecy. You are going to be preaching to millions of people one time.
Amen.
I don't mean online, in person.
Amen.
And it's coming to pass. When you get to that stage, there's going to be many wonderful and beautiful sisters, as we have in this house. If you can't control yourself now at this level, God will say, let's get somebody else. Because I tried him, and he was already looking at the air and began to lust after the sister or the brother. Brethren, God will test you. And that was exactly what the man of God was doing with the servant. Go seven times. Why seven times? Why? Why not just one time? Why not two times? Why not three times? Why not four times? Why not five times? Seven times. Let's move on because of our time. And then lastly, this one, the test of wanting to take God's place. I call it the test of pride. Satan failed it. Wanted to take, you know, when God has blessed some people, I just want to thank God. I read for that exam, and my wisdom helped me. Everything just worked out as I planned. And you know what? I was so dazed by the testimony when I saw the result. Oh, I thank God that I had to take that course. When all those things are there, God allow you to pass more tests now. Just one small exam. God does still want to bring you when president will come and be shaking you. When president knock at your door and say they want to come and have audience with you. By then, what will you be doing? They say, bro, it's time for Bible study. You know what? I need to meet with the president by 2:00. So I'm sorry, I won't be able to make it. Please tell Pastor, he understands. He knows how the Lord has blessed me so far. How important the meeting is. Taking God's place. Every one of us will go through this test. And sometime in our speech, sometime in our action, we attempt to take the place of God, but we don't know God is watching, testing you. And one thing I know with God, once you pass a test with God, be ready for an abundant rain. Once you pass his test, so you are going to rise up on your feet. You are going to say, Father, please help me to pass the test of wilderness. Help me to pass the test of material things. Help me to pass the test of opposite sex. Help me to pass the test, Lord, of pride. That means you will not have pride. When God has promotes you, when he has changed your level, the servant, he told him 7 times, go. Go. 7 times. When God has changed your level, when he has poured the rain upon you in greater measure. So God is training you now, preparing your spirit. Maybe that's even your case. Maybe you're already failing some of the tests now. Any little accomplishment in your life, say it was my power that did it. Not giving glory to God. Or maybe you're already lusting after that brother. And God is saying, don't fail this test. Don't fail it. Don't fail it. Don't fail it, my son. My daughter, don't fail this test. There's something I want to do. But at that time, you won't see him. It's as if he's nowhere to be found. But he's somewhere looking. He's looking. He's looking. And seeing how you will react to it. He's watching you step by step. Watching your talk. Watching your step. Watching everything. And later, you just see his hand. You say, God, I didn't know you are like this. He said, I am God. I've never changed. Say, Lord, help me not to fail any of this test. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please take your seat. Number three. 7 preparation. Consecration. Many of us will say, well, God, you know, you answered the prayer of Elijah. Fire fell. It didn't just happen. Elijah set himself apart for the Lord. Let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11, we'll read from verse 23.
By faith.
Moses.
When he was born. Was he 3 months of his parents.
Okay.
Because they saw he was a proper child.
All right.
And they were not.
All our children in this house will be proper children. Yeah. We come against malnourished. We come against any form of disabilities in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Go ahead.
Because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith.
Moses,
when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's
daughter. He made a choice that he wasn't going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused. Thank you, sir. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Consecration. To consecrate yourself, it simply means you are setting yourself apart. And I tell you, brethren, consecration is intentional. Don't say, well, Lord, give me the grace to consecrate myself. You make the choice that I'm going to consecrate myself. Look at Elijah. Out of 450 prophets of Baal from that story in 1 Kings chapter 18, this man set himself apart. So it is very okay, brethren, to be different for God. Very okay. Don't go with the multitude. Consecrate yourself. He set himself apart for the Almighty God. He wasn't attracted by gift, by food, by pleasure that comes from being on the king's side. Remember? All the 450 prophets of Baal, they were. The Bible said that who was feeding them? Jezebel. Jezebel will prepare meal because of food. So when they finish it and their tummy is out, they begin to make lies. Oh, they see victory. At that time, what are you speaking? Is the rice and beans. Oh, I see a new car. What is speaking at that time is the gold they've received. Oh, I see you victorious. I see you getting married tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. All those things that are speaking is gift. It's not God. But for Elijah, this man, he didn't pay attention to those things. They would have bribed him. Go and meet him. We learned he always go to Mount Carmel. Man of God, prophet, King Ahab, and the wife, the queen, the majesty, said we should come and greet you to see how you are doing. I wanted to know if you have anything in your life that we can support. Get it behind me, you daughter of Jezebel. I could imagine that that's what he would do. This man was not moved by gift. Maybe you are here, you love material thing. You love gift. You love money. God is saying, well, where I am taking you to is a place where money will be nothing to you. And that will come to pass in my life and in your life. Amen. I say, you see, I always tell my wife something. I said, the time is coming that you'll be signing check, a $1 billion check that you don't even necessarily have to say, well, do I? Because it will be so more than enough. And that time is coming to pass. Amen. Brethren, you see, we must consecrate ourselves. God is looking for youth that will consecrate themselves. I'm not talking about, when we talk about consecration, we are not saying, well, you keep yourself from immorality. That's not what alone we are talking about, our consecration. The fact that you are in the midst of friends that won't go to church or that won't believe in God, and you choose to believe, that is consecration. You get to a place, they say it's birthday celebration and so on, or at work, and that day there's plenty food and pizza and chicken and all of them, McDonald's, everything combined, and you say you are fasting. That is consecration. So consecration is not always in the way we see it. Anything you do to separate yourself for God, to defend God, the name of God, is consecration. Or maybe in your family, they say, every year we do this tribal, they have to sacrifice to some idols. And they said, it's your turn to send some money. Say, Mio, I'm a Christian. I cannot. So that is consecration. So, brethren, God is looking for men and women that will consecrate themselves for him. And then get ready for the downpour. Tell your neighbor, get ready for the downpour. There's a sound of abundance of rain. Say it as if it means, say, get ready for the downpour. There's a sound of abundance of rain. One more time, family, one more person, say, get ready for the downpour. There's a sound of abundance of rain. Amen. The man Elijah wanted righteousness to be enthroned in the land. Consecration. He doesn't want Ahab and Jezebel to keep worshiping idol. Consecration. The man Elijah, he wanted the Israelite heart to be turned back to their creator and their redeemer. Consecration. He chose to consecrate himself. It is only men like Elijah that can put rain on hold and make rain to fall again. Why? He consecrated himself. Brethren, God is still alive. And it's the same God. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same. But most of the time, why we call upon him is because we have not been consecrated. We have not been sanctified. We have not been set aside, and that's why he's not hearing us. But when you are consecrated unto God, even before you call upon him, he will answer you. I pray he will answer you. I say he will answer you. You are going to say, Father, I consecrate myself. I set myself aside for your use. Go ahead and make that your prayer. Make that your prayer. Make that your prayer. Have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? That is part of the consecration. Have you made him your Lord and Savior? 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 Or maybe you've accepted him and you backslided.
Have you made him your Lord and Savior? Have you made him your Lord and Savior? For in Jesus' mighty name, we are free. We'll take one more and then we'll end for today. So, number three, consecration. Consecrate yourself. You don't have to speak the way everybody speaks. You don't have to dress the way everybody dresses. You don't have to go to where everybody goes to. No, you are different. You are a child of God. You are a royal priesthood. Number four, act in faith. One of the things that brought about the rainfall that we saw here is prophetic declaration. If you go back to that same scripture, you will see that he told the king that there's a sign of abundance of rain, and there hadn't been rain for 3.5 years prior to that. 1 Kings chapter 18. There hadn't been rain. So you must, even in the midst of trial, learn to declare glorious things about your life. You may not see it now, but it will come to pass. You prophesy good things into your own life. Prophesy glorious things into your own life. Now, the Bible says, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee. You know, it was as if Elijah was a spirit, or he was like an angel. There was no drop of rain. The cloud was not there. All the signs were not there. Yet this man could say, I could see a sign of abundance of rain. That is prophetic declaration. You are declaring the word of the Lord. Remember, he consecrated himself. He had passed all the tests. He had done everything that he needed. And so when he speaks, God makes it his own word. I want you to rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. I want you to pray this prayer. Father, I know my tomorrow will be all right. Irrespective of what I'm going through right now. I trust you. I want you to pray the prayer. Say, I trust you. I put my hope in you. I put my confidence in you. I know I will rejoice. I know I will laugh again. I know the rain is about to fall. And I will not give up. Now go ahead and begin to pray. Use those 4 points that we have talked about to pray this afternoon. To pray for your life. To pray for your destiny. To pray for your life. To pray for your destiny. Obedience. The test of faith. Obedience. The test of faith. Obedience, the test of faith. The obedience, the test of faith. Talk to God this afternoon. Consecration, help me to consecrate myself. Help me, help me. Maybe you are here this afternoon, you have not consecrated yourself unto Jesus. You have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior. That is the beginning of your walk with God. That is the beginning. Then you can begin to declare there's a sign of abundance of rain and it will happen. Then you can declare and it comes to pass. You are here this afternoon. You want to live right. You want to say, Jesus, I know I have not been living the way you wanted me to live. I have not been obeying your voice. Come forward as we pray with you this afternoon. Or maybe you are online. Raise up your hand wherever you may be, anywhere in the world. Raise it up, and if you are here physically, you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. That is the beginning of your consecration. Come forward while we pray with you. Because the same Jesus might come, you know, he's coming again. He can come today. He can come tomorrow. He can come next tomorrow. Consecration. You want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Or you want to rededicate your life unto him. Come forward this afternoon while we pray with you. Don't let today pass you by. Tomorrow might be too late. To make it right, it might be too late tomorrow, but now you can make it right today. You can make it right today. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the things that I have done. I have not consecrated myself. I know. Ask him and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Maybe you are failing the test right now. Maybe the heat of life is hitting you on different sides. Work, family, children, everything, bills, finances. It's like everything just hitting you from left to right. And you are asking, where is God? And I hear him say, I am God. I am God. I change none. I change none. Talk to God. I say, Lord, in this week, help me to walk in consecration. Help me to live a dedicated life. Maybe your own case is that when you are speaking, you begin to defy yourself with the words of your mouth. Say, Lord Jesus, this week is before you. Help me. Maybe your own is lying. Say, Lord, help me. You must be consecrated for you to command God's kind of blessing. Consecration is key. Consecrating your body, soul, and spirit. When you come into church, we look sanctimonious. But when we are in the midst of our friends, we use word of profanity. When we are in the midst of our friends, we use dirty languages. You are not being consecrated with that. Say, Lord, help me. Or maybe you are failing the test already. Maybe one sister is already, you are already sleeping together. You are not being consecrated. You are not being consecrated. Maybe you are already failing the test. Maybe somebody now threw food or one material thing. They give you material thing that perish. And now you can't even stand for the truth anymore. Cry to God this afternoon. Say, Lord, I bring myself back to you. I consecrate myself with your blood, with the blood of Jesus. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Now begin to prophesy into the week. Now it's your turn. Now begin to prophesy. What do you want to see? For me, I see abundance of rain. I see abundance of rain. What do you want to see? Don't worry about that prevailing situation. You are sick, declare that you are healed. You are weak, declare that you are strong. You are poor, declare that you are rich. You are confused, declare that yes, you have the mind of God. Whatever thing, now begin to declare the word of faith. Begin to declare it, begin to declare it, begin to declare it. Maybe it's as if you're about to be terminated at job now. This man of God didn't even know what I'm going through. Don't worry, I don't need to know, but God knows. God knows, God knows, God knows, God knows. You will not be terminated. You will not be put to shame. You will not be terminated. Believe the word of God. Believe the word of God. That's why he brought you here. That's why he's sending this word. Go and set yourself apart. Stop messing around. Stop living like an unbeliever. And then see the sound of abundance of rain is coming. Stop hating your neighbor. Stop backbiting. Stop all the works of the flesh. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Say, Lord, my tongue, check your life. Any part of you. Maybe your own is thought, immoral thought, unclean thought, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Cry to God, cry to God, cry to God. Say, Lord, because in this one life that I have, I don't just want to pass this life. I don't just want to pass without making any mark. I want to be another greater Elijah than Elijah, because Jesus Christ has come and shed his blood in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, he said, greater works than this you will do. You have opportunity to pray. Don't say, well, I prayed the same prayer last 2 weeks. Nothing happened. Who told you nothing happened? God is saying, I am God. I am God. I change none. I change none. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, as we pray and do our thanksgiving and share the grace, God says some people's blessing that they expect miracle, it is from the eyes. And I will explain what that means. Something you see. Maybe baby. Something. You see, some people's blessing is from the ear, meaning that they will have to hear something, good news. You see, some people's blessing is from the mouth.
is like the speaking of the word. So now, any of this category that you belong, just touch, if it is maybe you are expecting good news, you submitted an application, put your hand in your hand like this. Maybe your own is that you want to see something manifest, something tangible, your eyes. Then put your hand on your eyes. Maybe your own is just touch your lips like this. I have never seen that kind of illustration in my life. This is the first time. But I believe God. I believe God. While everyone eyes closed, while you do that, Father, I thank you for your word. Just keep putting your hand there. I thank you because you are God. The same God that answered Elijah. You sent, he said there was a sound of abundance of rain that he could see and he could hear it. And it came to pass. You have also even given us a sign this afternoon. Abundance of rain outside. The floor has been filled with water. Giving us proof that you are with us. Lord, as you have instructed me, I have obeyed. Is there any of your children here or that are home that the kind of miracle they need is the one that eyes have to see, tangible, visible, something they can carry, maybe they may be carrying their babies in their hand or carrying their employment letter in their hand or admission on their hand, something they could see. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will see that miracle. Maybe you are here, your own is you are waiting for a good news. Your ear have to hear good news concerning maybe your health. Maybe it could be your finance, it could be your work, it could be your family. You are just waiting to hear something good. You have an expectation. This afternoon, that expectation is granted. Maybe your own case, just words. You are waiting for somebody to just speak. You are waiting for somebody to just declare, to say, approve. You are waiting for somebody to just say, it is done. Maybe your own is just words. You need somebody to speak. Maybe the CEO, or maybe it could be a man of God. It could be God himself. You are just waiting for a word from the mouth. I declare that it is done. And you will surely remember this day for good. Father, we give you all the glory. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Jam your hands together for Jesus. Celebrate him, celebrate him, celebrate him, celebrate him.